yesterday's prophecies, today's headlines. This is the Hal Lindsey Report. And now, Hal Lindsey.
Good evening, and welcome to this edition of the Hal Lindsey Report. In Guam last week, residents got a quick course on how to prepare for nuclear war. Guam Homeland Security issued an emergency fact sheet. It offered some safety instructions. Among them were these: do not look at the flash or fireball. It can blind you. Take cover behind anything that might offer protection. Lie flat on the ground and cover your head. If you were outside during or after the blast, get clean as soon as possible to remove radioactive material that may have settled on your body. Why were the residents of Guam told not to look directly at the fireball of a nuclear blast? Because on August 8th, North Korea threatened to nuke Guam. 2 days later, they retracted the threat a little. They said they would not strike Guam directly. Instead, they would fire 4 missiles into the waters off Guam's coast. They said it would be a display of their nuclear capabilities. To hit near Guam, they would have to fire the missile directly over Japan. Japan then threatened to shoot down any missile that flies their way. While Guam's authorities handed out instructions on how to survive nuclear war, Japanese cities began holding evacuation drills. A missile from North Korea can reach Japan in as little as 7 minutes. Meanwhile, the Russian foreign minister warned that war could be imminent. He said, "The risks are very high." South Korea's new president convened a meeting of the top commanders. He told them to be ready for war at any moment. In the United States, potassium iodide pills have been flying off the drugstore shelves. They are sometimes called nuke pills. They help block radioactive iodine from being absorbed by the thyroid gland. Gas masks and other survival gear have seen a sudden spike in sales. Also, some in the United States have been building fallout shelters like it was 1962. White House National Security Aide Sebastian Gorka said this is analogous to the Cuban Missile Crisis. Peggy Noonan was a speechwriter for Ronald Reagan. She wrote a column for Fox News. The headline read, "The North Korean crisis is not your father's Cuban Missile Crisis. It's worse." The Cuban Missile Crisis brought civilization to the brink of World War III. But some experts don't think the situation with North Korea is that bad. Tom Nichols is a professor for U.S. Naval War College. He wrote, "We are nowhere near a Cold War scenario like the Cuban Missile Crisis or an ongoing mutual assured destruction standoff. For one thing, the North Koreans do not have the ability, nor will they ever, to obliterate the United States. Last week, we learned from the Defense Intelligence Agency that North Korea may have as many as 60 nuclear bombs. Even worse, they may have the ability to make these weapons small enough to be carried on their new ICBMs. A single nuclear weapon could easily kill 500,000 people. No, North Korea can't obliterate the United States, but it can harm it severely. The 9/11 attack on America was small in comparison, but it changed history. It led to 2 wars that resulted in another 7,000 U.S. dead. It changed our day-to-day lives, and it led to the rise of ISIS. What would happen to the United States if only a handful of North Korean nukes got past our defenses? millions of lives would be lost. It would destroy the U.S. economy. That would create a worldwide depression worse than any other in history. It could mean an all-out war on the Korean Peninsula with millions more casualties. And if that's not bad enough, it could mean war with China. Jesus said, in the last days, we would hear of wars and rumors of wars. History is chock full of both. Bible scholars used to wonder what would make the end time wars and rumors of wars unique. The answer now seems obvious. Nuclear weapons. President Trump warned North Korea last week that further threats against the United States will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen. History is filled with rumors of war, but not like that. The president's words were rumors of wars on steroids. Other leaders have warned of war like never before. But those other leaders didn't have 7,000 nuclear weapons to back them up. President Trump does. The number of nations with these dread weapons is about to increase dramatically. Last day's wars will be horrible on a whole new level. And Jesus knew it 2,000 years ago. We live in a special time and place. We can preach the gospel using communications tools unheard of in previous generations. But we don't know how long we have. Jesus said, we must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no man can work. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 16 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Maybe we'll enjoy the freedom for a few more years, but we have no guarantee. So let's redeem the time and work while we can. Folks, I'm very pleased to announce the latest release of my audio teaching series, The Book of Acts. The set consists of 39 compact discs. With the birth of the first Christian congregation, the Holy Spirit's ministry began. The Book of Acts chronicles the ministry and miracles of the apostles. It describes their trials as well. Some of the topics I cover include initiation of the age of the Holy Spirit, principles of prayer and giving, Stephen, God's example of grace, the conversion of Saul, the Holy Spirit's guidance in action, and Paul before Caesar. These are just a few of the topics I cover in this exhaustive teaching on the Book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles.
You can receive your set of 39 audio CDs of Hal Lindsey's comprehensive study of the Book of Acts for just $156 plus shipping and handling. To order your audio CD set today, write to Hal Lindsey Media Ministries, P.O. Box 470-470, Tulsa, Oklahoma 74147. You can also order online at hallindsey.com or by phoning toll-free 1-888-RAPTURE.
This series will teach you, encourage you, and help you grow in your daily walk with God.
Order Hal Lindsey's teaching on the Book of Acts today.
The news media is obsessed with what just happened and what will happen tomorrow. On this program, I like to step back and look at the big picture. So let's look further down the road. Fortunately, Kim Jong-un blinked first and backed down. But if North Korea continues to develop weapons at the current pace, what will the world be like in 2 years? If they have 60 nuclear weapons now, how many will they have by then? More importantly, how many will they have had time to miniaturize for use on ICBMs? 50? 100? That's enough to overwhelm any known missile defense system. Kim Jong-un could blackmail the entire world. The United Nations Security Council imposed new sanctions on North Korea earlier this month. Those sanctions are crucial. Coal is North Korea's number one export. In the sanctions, China agreed to an all-out ban on buying North Korean coal. 90% of its trade revenue comes from China. The sanctions limited North Korea's annual export revenue to $3 billion. That's down by more than a third. If China honors the sanctions, North Korea will be forced to the bargaining table within months. But will they? China simply agreeing to sanctions doesn't mean they will abide by them. They have a miserable record in this regard. It's true that Kim Jong-un has allowed more capitalism. It has resulted in a slightly improved North Korean economy. But it's not enough. Their own picture shows the true state of the country. Recently, the regime called their citizens to the streets to protest the United States. If you look closely at the photographs, you see that North Koreans are on starvation diets. They are skin and bones. Even the soldiers look half-starved and frail. Of course, there's one notable and extremely obvious exception. Glorious leader doesn't seem to have missed any meals. It's difficult to think of sanctioning people who are already suffering. But their leadership has left the whole world no other choice. Pray that China will do the right thing. And pray for the people of North Korea, especially the Christians. We have indications of a large underground church there, but it is suffering greatly. Since the early days of nuclear weapons, the United States has always refused to make a no-first-use pledge. Some nuclear powers have made such a commitment, but the United States and Russia have not done so. Even liberal icons like John Kennedy, Bill Clinton, and Barack Obama refused to make no-first-use the American policy. Any of them could have, but none did. The reason is simple. To make such a pledge would embolden aggression against the United States. I believe that most of the world knows that the U.S. does not want to strike first in a nuclear war. But our enemies do not know for sure. They can't be certain because we as a nation have refused to say that we will not do it. This leaves an implied threat of a preemptive strike. That threat has long served as a cornerstone of the U.S. defense policy. But Representative David Cicilline of Rhode Island wants to change that. In a letter to Speaker of the House Paul Ryan, the Rhode Island representative wrote, "In the light of the ongoing standoff between the United States and North Korea, as well as President Trump's reckless words, I ask that you immediately call the House of Representatives back into session to debate legislation prohibiting the U.S. from conducting a preemptive nuclear strike without prior congressional authorization." Technically, he does not ask for no first use. He wants to make the president get congressional permission before he uses nuclear weapons. But it amounts to the same thing. Even if Congress took a secret vote, you could not get 535 politicians and their aides to keep such a big secret. These are people who love talking to reporters. That's why the Constitution specifically makes the president commander-in-chief. What's more, the congressman knows he would be taking away the president's option of a first strike. He tweeted, "If President at Real Donald Trump won't take nuclear war off the table, Congress must." So the congressman knows he would be crippling the U.S. defense strategy of the last 7 decades. Sadly, this seems to come from personal animus toward President Trump. The D.C. establishment does not trust Trump. The question is, do they trust the Constitution of the United States? Do they trust democracy? Donald Trump became president by a vote of the people. He won according to the rules laid out in the Constitution. A few weeks ago, he tweeted, "The United States government will not accept or allow transgender individuals to serve in any capacity in the U.S. military." Whether or not you agree with this decision, that is the president's decision to make. When Navy Secretary Richard Spencer was asked his opinion on the subject, he indicated that he disagreed with the president's decision, but he also said he would follow the president's orders and march out smartly. The commandant of the Coast Guard had a different response. He said, "The Coast Guard will not break faith with transgender individuals. He's now a hero in the LGBT community because he seemed to be making a vow of insubordination. He apparently has no problem breaking faith with the Constitution." Folks, this goes to the heart of our republic. The Constitution places control of the military firmly in the civilian hands. As part of their oath, service members swear to support and defend the Constitution of the United States, and that means civilian control of the military. As of the time I record this program, we only have a tweet from the president. A detailed directive on the military's transgender policy is still pending. Hopefully, there will be no insubordination when the official order arrives. Who would have seen this coming a few years ago? The leader of one of America's services seems to be defying civilian control of the military. Why? Because transgender individuals will not be allowed to serve. But their service is hardly a long military tradition. The rule went into effect only last year. If the commandant believes the order is so immoral that he cannot follow it, he should resign. The principle of civilian leadership is too essential to ignore. The military must be subject to civilian leaders, even when a military leader thinks the civilian leader is wrong. Otherwise, the republic dies, only to be replaced by a military dictatorship. In these and many other cases, the Washington establishment is allowing their dislike for President Trump to color their understanding of constitutional government. Many of the attacks on Trump are really attacks on the presidency itself, and that is a serious problem. In fact, the world seems full of critical problems today. If these are the last days, and I'm convinced they are, things will not be getting better anytime soon. But God still reigns over the universe. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, the prophet says to the Lord, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Despite the bad news encircling the earth, he will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on him. That means your thoughts remain on him, his goodness, greatness, mercy, majesty, and grace. Your trust in him is the conduit through which the peace of God will flow into every part of your life. When you support the Hal Lindsey Report with your tax-deductible gift, you're joining me as a watchman on the wall. I've told you many times that I believe God raised up the Hal Lindsey Report to be a voice of warning to the church, the nation, and the world. I've also told you that I can't do this job alone. I need your help. I need your prayer support and your financial support. And praise God, I've received both in generous supply in the past. But we can't stop now. Please stand beside me on the wall as we proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ and warn the world that He's coming soon.
To support this program, send your tax-deductible gift to Hal Lindsey Media Ministries, P.O. Box 470-470, Tulsa, Oklahoma 74147. You can also support this ministry online. Visit hallindsey.com or call 1-888-RAPTURE.
Thank you so much for standing with me as a watchman on the wall. I thank God for sending me such loyal partners, and I pray daily that He will reward your faithfulness and protect and prosper you in these very difficult times. Thank you again from the bottom of my heart. Why do human beings sin? Romans chapter 7, verse 5 says, "For while we were in the flesh, that is, before we became believers, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for death." Paul indicates that there are two things at work within a non-believer to make him sin. The first is his sinful passions, sometimes called the sin nature. The other thing that pushed us towards sin is, ironically, the law itself. The law actually stirs up sinful passion. Rebellion against the law then occurs, and that is what the Bible calls sin. Later in Romans chapter 7, Paul says that the law works the same way in the life of a believer. "I would not have come to know sin except through the law, for I would not have known about coveting if the law had not said, 'You shall not covet.' But sin, taking opportunity through the commandment, produced in me coveting of every kind. For apart from the law, sin is dead." Paul might just as easily have said, "My sin nature, which used to be aroused by all the laws before I became a Christian, is still getting stirred up by the law, even though I'm now God's child. If I could get away from all these laws, then I wouldn't have to be worrying about all this sinning." Psychologists have noticed the same tendency. People do the opposite of what you're commanded to do. We call it reverse psychology. If you want someone to do something, tell him to do just the opposite. Most parents figure this out before their children get very old. I know that all of this tends to make the law look bad. God's law or man's law, but the law isn't the real problem. The sinful passions it stirs up are the problem. Since it stirs up sinful passions, you might wonder why God would give law. He had lots of reasons. The first was to show man what sin is. Law sets up standards of conduct. It also lays out the consequences of the standards are not met. The Bible sets forth several kinds of law. The first is the law of conscience. When Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they developed a conscious knowledge of what they should and should not do. But conscience can easily become seared. Within a few hundred years it took to go from Adam to Noah, man had so deadened his conscience that God was sorry he had even made man. God knew that men need an objective standard of right and wrong. Laying out the law also served another purpose. Galatians chapter 3, verse 24 says, "The law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith." The King James Version calls the law our schoolmaster. Both of those words means teacher. So what does the law teach us? That will bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith? It teaches us that we don't measure up to God's standards of right and wrong. We cannot justify ourselves. We need the redemption that Jesus bought for us on the cross. If the rapture happens tomorrow, are you ready? If a car crash takes your life, are you ready to stand before God? There's only one way to be sure of your future. Open your heart to God. Do it now in a way you never have before. Acknowledge that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. Humbly ask Him for forgiveness and eternal life. Accept free gift of pardon that He purchased for you. And believe that He will honor His promises to forgive you and accept you as His child. When you do that sincerely, then you join God's forever family. Well, that's it for tonight, folks. God willing, I'll see you next week.
You've been watching the Hal Lindsey Report. To support this program, send your tax-deductible gift to Hal Lindsey Media Ministries, P.O. Box 470-470, Tulsa, Oklahoma 74147. You can also support this ministry online. Visit hallindsey.com or call 1-888-RAPTURE.